3 channels of danceable jams to choose from, including bluegrass, the Grateful Dead, reggae, afrobeat, world music, hip-hop, funk and soul, electronic dance music, bhangra, and global bass music. There's something for everyone. We'll also feature a silent auction with art from local artists as well. Silent Nights will be on Saturday, December 19th from 8 p.m. to midnight at Manifestation PDX, 2020 Southeast Bush Street in Portland. For more information on the lineup and tickets and more, go to kboo.fm/silentnights2015. That's Silent Nights 2015, a benefit for our community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of BikeRaft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th at Bike Farm in Portland. BikeRaft features handmade gifts that support bike culture as well as food, drink, and music. Again, that's BikeRaft, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th, from 11 to 6 both days at Bike Farm, 1810 Northeast 1st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm. On the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to Between the Covers, the KBOO show, where we actually talk to authors who write books. It's really fun. This morning, we are thrilled to have author, publisher, screenwriter, producer, former radio host, Todd Davies. I know, and that's, I'm not even talking about half the stuff that she's done, but we only have a half hour show. Today, I'll be talking to Todd about her latest book, The Lizard Princess, the third book in the history of the Arcadia series. Books 1 and 2 are Snotty Saves the Day and Lily the Silent. She's also the author of 2 cooking memoirs, Jam Today, A Diary of Cooking with What You've Got, and Jam Today 2, The Revolution Will Not Be Catered. She's also going to be at Powell's this evening, Powell's on Hawthorne at 7:30 to continue this discussion. And if you haven't been to a talk that Todd gives, you really should, because they're really fun, informative, and you'll meet great people there as well. Good morning. Welcome back to KBOO, Todd Davies.
I am so happy to be back, Lynn.
Excellent. Hi. Thanks for braving the weather.
I brought my snorkel.
Excellent. And a paddle. So let's just sort of start out and let our listeners know what this whole history of Arcadia series, without any spoilers, is about.
So Arcadia is a world. Well, Arcadia is actually a small country surrounded by mountains and surrounded by a huge empire called Megalopolis. And their world is in the same space as our world, but spins at a different frequency. And they're having similar issues to ours, but it's a fantasy world. So there's a much stronger conflict between the irrational and the rational in that world. And they're looking for aid. And they've discovered that they can send stories across the barrier between our worlds. Nonfiction doesn't travel. So their physicists have been sending me, and their biologists have been sending me these books about their world in hopes that we will be able to help them with the issues that they've got.
If we can just help ourselves.
Indeed.
So in The Lizard Princess, Sophia, I was going to say goes on a heroine's journey, but I'm going to say she goes on a human being's journey.
Oh, I love you, Lynn.
Because John Trudell, and I was talking to you about him, was a great activist, and he just died recently. And his whole thing was that when we started making gods and goddesses into humans is when we kind of got in trouble, and that we are human beings, not so much men, women.
It's the split.
It's
the split that's the problem. And one of the great, Ursula K. Le Guin is my heroine, of course. And one of the fantastic things that she said was she pointed out that the culture has gotten so severely yang, i.e. so severely what we think of as masculine traits. I mean, they aren't. They're women have them, men have them, but what we think of as masculine traits.
I like saying yang.
So she said it's gotten so severely yang that we have to actually yank it back to yin in order to bring it back into balance. So all of you people who are afraid of feminism because you think it means women are going to be in charge, no, 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 no.
Or that women hate men.
No, 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 no.
We're irritated occasionally.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
no,
yeah. But I can see how they're irritated with us too. So
yeah.
It's partnership. Hey.
Oh, which is something that we have very little of. I mean, Arcadia seems to be a little bit, I know they want our help, but they seem to be a little more connected to the natural world.
Well, they are trying, but they are being pressed by a technological society that puts knowledge ahead of wisdom. And this is what my project with
Explain
the history.
Explain that. Explain that to people.
Okay.
Explain
Guys,
that.
Guys, I hope you're all listening. Okay. Wisdom is, knowledge is what we know and what we can do with it. Wisdom is why we know it and what are we going to do with it. Wisdom is about goals. Wisdom is who are we? What are we meant to do? Sometimes knowledge outruns that, and we end up doing things just because we can do them, or we make technology a god instead of using it for human ends. And that's a big battle for Arcadia, because what they're trying to do is have a human society that actually provides human desires. This is why I'm so into fairy tales, and why their physicists have told me when they've sent these books, they footnoted it in Snotty Saves the Day quite extensively, that they've discovered actually that fairy tales hold actual biological secrets about human beings, that they aren't just what we call just for children. And they do. They hold actually the secrets of what our real desires are as humans, to connect with nature, for example, to talk to nature, to achieve things in our lives, to have feasts with loved ones, you know, things like this, which, by the way, is why I write about food, too, because food and stories are two of the most human things I can think of. So when we talk, for example, when people start talking about the singularity and how in the future our brains are going to be uploaded to computers and we're going to become immortal, I don't know about you guys, but I am horrified by that.
I'm out of here. No.
No, no kidding, man. No smelling the rain? No walking under a tree? No petting a dog? No drinking a glass of red wine with some blue cheese on a piece of sourdough bread? No, thank you.
Mm-mm. Well, you, one of the characters, I believe it is Asper Grayling. Asper Grayling. You are much more compassionate about him than I am, but has basically a clone of himself as his son.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's against the law in Arcadia, but he doesn't pay any attention to that. So.
And it's a big deal in Megalopolis.
Mm-hmm. Parthenogenesis is a big deal. Being the father of yourself and not having to have a partner.
Which, you know, do you remember Pallas Athene?
I do.
Who sprung from the head of her father, Zeus.
I do. And of course, she didn't really do that. You know, they came up with that story. She was quite more ancient goddess than Zeus was, but they had to get her under control.
Oh, okay.
You knew that kind of thing was going to come
up.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well,
by the way, Asper Grayling's writing the next history of Arcadia.
I saw
book.
That. That's really amazing that that they even keep him around.
Oh, well, they don't. I mean, he's written an NSA-style report on Arcadia for Megalopolis.
Well, he was heading out towards the end of the book. I'm like, please get rid of this guy. And I love Mike Madrid's illustrations of him.
He's Mike's illustrations of everything are incredible.
Yeah.
For those of you who are Mike Madrid fans, there are some of you who know him because of his comic book books, his books about superheroines that I also publish, the Supergirls, Vixens, Vamps, and Vipers.
Yes, you are the publisher of Exterminating Angel
Press. Yeah. And Mike also, we wear many hats at Exterminating Angel Press. It's kind of like KBOO in that way. And he does all the design for all of the Exterminating Angel books, and he does the illustrations for Arcadia, and incredible illustrations.
They're beautiful.
I love them, yeah.
I just, you know, you've been a screenwriter, so your books are so visual.
Oh, good. I mean, I didn't even think about that, but
they
I guess it's
always
all that
visual.
Training.
I know. Well, it's fine.
Show, don't tell.
I see them kind of in a Studio Ghibli animation. Takahata, my surprise, Takahata, who does the, I don't know if you've ever seen any of his films from Studio Ghibli. He and Miyazaki were partners for a while, but he does the most beautiful, bittersweet, some of the saddest, but they're strictly anti-war. I mean, sorts of films, which is not what we're talking about here, but
we could.
But we could, but you, I just see the Arcadia series there in that kind of animation, which would be beautiful.
Cool.
I know. From my mouth to their ears, huh?
I have to say, though, the second book, Lily the Silent, mm-hmm. which is about Sophia, who's the heroine of The Lizard right. Princess, is about her mother. All I can think of is Lorde playing Lily. She would be so perfect.
Well,
hope her agent's listening.
You never know. So one of the things, too, is the notion of home is really big in this. Mm-hmm. It's at the end of the book where Sophia finally... I shouldn't say. I don't want to say. No spoilers. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But home, what people think of as home. The people in Megalopolis seem to be...
homeless.
Homeless, even the richest of the rich.
And indeed, that is a problem that our culture aims toward because of this incredible need to move around to actually keep working. Homes get broken up. People don't have homes anymore. They don't have roots. And that is a very sad thing. You can kind of see how it happened after the Industrial Revolution, but I really think we need to settle down with that now, guys.
Well,
we really do.
But if you, for some folks, if you keep people moving and rootless, they will continue on with the paradigm.
Yeah, and they won't be able to join together with other people who have similar desires and similar needs and similar aims.
And they will be cut off from the natural world.
That's the worst.
We are of nature and we will die. Two things that Western culture does not like. Which brings me around to my favorite character in the book, Death. Once again, I loved her in Lily the Silent, and I continue to enjoy her in The Lizard Princess as well. So what made you get this character in the way?
Well, you know, I mean, I have to say about these books, because they are, many people have pointed this out, some like it and some don't, they are like nothing else out there.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wrote them is not, it didn't come in my head, okay, now you're going to write. They literally come to me. I mean, I literally start hearing the characters talk to me and say, and kicking my butt, you know? I have to actually get up and write down what they're saying, then I put it in a file, and then I go back and look at it, and I go, wow, I didn't write that, you know? And Death really, really, really wants to communicate. And she feels quite strongly that we confuse her with the idea of ends, that death is not really an end. Death is part of a cycle and is the flip side of life. And if you don't have death, you don't have life, which is something we seem to be confused about.
I know in Megalopolis they are doing everything they can to keep her away. How does she deal with the people in Megalopolis?
She's really pissed, boy. If you'll recall in Lily, she comes storming through with a huge crowd of the dead. I don't think that spoils anything to tell you.
No.
Yeah. And you see when you get on the False Moon in this book.
So there are two... the people of Megalopolis have pretty much destroyed the habitat of where they're living.
There was an enormous earthquake and flood as a result of many of their experiments that were happening. And the rich had meanwhile built a false moon next to the moon itself, which they moved up to. So rich people live up there, but there's still people on the ruined surface. And the rich people have to come down from time to time because they've actually found they don't really stay healthy.
I was going to say, and animals can't live up there.
Yeah, animals, but yeah, very sad.
I know.
Yeah, but they have so many invented animals up there, you know. Like in Philip K. Dick's wonderful book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I love that they're desperate to see a real animal in that book, and then some guy thinks he's actually found a beetle, and he's so ecstatic, and it turns out to be a robot beetle. Yeah, that was terrible. It was a terrible moment.
I know.
We don't want to get there, guys.
No. Because for many of us, animals are the only connection to the natural world that some people have.
And it's not even an only. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
They are the natural world.
That's true.
And we are animals. I mean, that's why she's the lizard princess. Because she discovers that to be a great queen, you need to be part animal, part human, and part angel all at once, not one or the other.
And she felt at first, when she became half lizard, bottom half, I might add, that Well, having a tail came in handy sometimes, but also, and having that cold blood that she thought it was a curse, but it ended up being exactly what she needed. I love also in this book, or I find it really interesting, that she's, for me, being an older person, this is a coming of age story, but it's told from the point of view
of an older person who's had her life.
And has some wisdom. Well, she's
not all of her life. She's only 60.
Right,
but it's a youngin.
As I say now, yes.
But I do. When I was 15, I so wanted to hear from older women about what their lives were like. And when I was 15, older women did not share.
I know.
So, and I know we now feel a tremendous urge, and it's not just a duty, it's an incredible pleasure to interact with younger women and to support them.
Yeah, saying, honey, you won't understand it now, and which is true, but that's not really good
communication.
No,
that's not helpful.
Not helpful at all.
No. What do you want to know? I'll try and tell you. Mm-hmm. And I do try and tell, and I have to say that I just love it when younger women respond to these books. That's one of my fondest things.
Well, and one of the things I like about Sophia is she seems to not be in the rat trap of repeating. Well, of course, she doesn't have time in the book, but to repeat mistakes over and over and over. She seems to be open.
Well, I guess that's why she's known as Sophia the Wise, even though she thinks
even
that's a little silly.
That's because she's wise.
Because she's wise.
Because she knows better. I was thinking about the home thing, you know, I was... Even like Trump supporters, part of what they want is to get back home.
Yeah.
To what they, their illusion.
Yeah. It's horrible how that gets manipulated because mm-hmm. that's a wonderful impulse.
To get home.
Yeah. Of course, to form a home, you know, but what happens in those kind of politics is that they use the fear thing to say home is a place that's secure and keeps you protected from outsiders. So it demonizes people outside of the home in order to make a home. What Arcadia is trying to do is trying to expand. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why they don't kick Asper and Grayling out. They don't want to kick anybody out.
I know.
Who doesn't want to leave.
I could tell that, but it was hard on me.
Well, he is. He's a little difficult.
He's a pain.
I have got to say, I'm so enjoying writing in his voice.
Oh, good.
It is so much fun. Yes. He's so full of himself, and he's so convinced everything he thinks is right and everything everybody else thinks is wrong. And I'm not even going to tell you who this is based on, but it's based on a best-selling author.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I won't tell you, though.
Well,
you guys can all guess.
Or if you come tonight to Powell's.
I'll tell you secretly. I'll take you aside.
To Powell's on Hawthorne, you might be able to get Todd to tell you who this might be. I just want to let folks know that this is Between the Covers. I'm Lynn Mullick. I'm here talking with Todd Davies today about her book, The Lizard Princess, the third book. And at first it was just going to be a trilogy, but I see that just didn't work. They were talking to you too much. That didn't work out at all.
They keep sending them. They really do. They really do.
Well, it's such a pertinent topic today because of the similarities between Megalopolis
and our world.
And our world.
Yeah.
And sometimes in our bubble of the Pacific Northwest, though not always, we're a little Arcadian. And I can...
And that's what the drama is of the Lizard Princess, is she has to learn that love isn't enough. It isn't just about being tolerant and loving. Power is a partner of love. You can't just have power without love, because that is cruel. And you can't just have love without power, because that is weakness.
And her journey is bittersweet. Her journey is not an unhappy ending, but it's not that horrible. And I never knew what those happy endings were either. They lived happily ever after. What does that mean?
Well, I love the Arabian Nights happy ending, which always is, and they lived happily until the Destroyer of Delights, who comes to all of us, came to them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that's a great, and that's a truthful ending.
Well, life pulsates.
Mm-hmm. And the original fairy tales had a different ending than They Lived Happily Ever After.
No, I think Disney... Also. Put some of that in there.
More bunnies. More bunnies than you could shake a stick at, too.
Fine for videos on the internet, but not so much. What was one of the other things in Arcadia? Oh, I know. I wanted to ask you the COP 21 has been happening in Paris. which is the... See, we listen. Democracy Now! Has been the only thing that's been covering that. It is the big climate conference, the United Nations.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I do know that.
I thought you would. Yeah. All right. What is, so if Arcadia was represented there, what would they be doing?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. Wow. Well, they'd be having some good meals in Paris, I can guarantee you that.
Hopefully,
and some wine. Because, well, I mean, they would obviously be pushing, which is going against the grain, for the idea of partnership with nature rather than dominance of nature. And rather than, as you said earlier to me when we were off the air, rather than this idea of now we have to save the earth, because saving the earth is the same kind of thing, isn't it? It's kind of like that thing about how women get put on a pedestal. So we're putting the earth on a pedestal.
And there's no place to go on a pedestal but down.
They're definitely not. That's definitely right. And you're getting real bored up there. So I think they would be pushing as hard as they could for a partnership with the earth rather than any kind of dominance of it. And they would be pushing for partnership of all kinds rather than dominance, because dominance doesn't really work. In my opinion.
Not so far.
No, well, and so far, not so good right at the moment.
At the moment, indeed.
And actually, could you ask me a question I want you to ask me? Ask me if the book is anti-technology, because that a couple of the reviewers started to get a little antsy and say, I'm wondering if she's against technology here.
No. Oh, is this book against technology?
No.
No. I didn't ask you that because it didn't even occur to me. I know that, it was against technology.
I was quite surprised at that too. It seems like there's a sort of knee-jerk reaction. I mean, if I don't think our brains are going to be uploaded into computers, I must be against like anti-malarial vaccines. You know, it's kind of weird.
Or remember in March Piercy's Women at the End of Time, they kept the technology. They kept dishwashers and washers, things that were
polar
important.
Polar fleece,
important things.
Yeah.
To me. Or the technology that seems to be a problem, and it's a problem for the megalopolans, is useless technology. How many ways to fend off old age?
Yeah. Anything that does not go to helping being human be more pleasurable, enjoyable, and comfortable for everyone. Anything that goes against that is a technology that I have no use for. So, but electric toothbrushes are fine as long as there's electricity.
And dishwashers are great.
Yeah, I love dishwashers.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
And electricity, I would assume the Arcadians would figure out how to use this, not have a problem with solar power.
Well, I'm having a great time because now I'm writing this NSA report, you know.
Yeah.
So he's reporting on how they handle energy.
Aspen
and what they're
Grayling.
And on what their economic system is, and you know how they handle their roads and things. So this is delightful. It's so much. I mean, I'm able to make a little country the way I think it would. I mean, obviously, it's going to be not usable for a huge amount of people because this is a little world that's 50 miles long with not that big of a population, and they all know each other. Mm-hmm. So obviously, to expand it out, there's going to have to be some creativity. And this is what I'm doing now is I've got the Arcadia project going in my head, and Mike and I are working on it, and we'd like to invite anybody who wants to participate in on it because we want input. What kind of economic
system?
How
would people get in touch with you for that?
Well, I am on the internet.
You are on the interwebs, I know. Just put in Todd Davies.
Just
punch that into your favorite.
Punch that in, and I'm on Facebook, and I'll friend anybody. Who's not anybody who's not spam. I'm delighted to hear from you. And the Exterminating Angel Press has a Facebook page.
Don't you think maybe Arcadia needs a Facebook page?
Well, maybe, but there's only so much time that a poor writer has, you know. And this social media thing, while I do think there are many great things about it, it does take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Although it's great to be able to keep in touch with so many different people in publishing and in the book world just with one page, and to go back and forth and do it on my phone. I mean, that's the phenomenon. It's really great because I think getting one of the things that is one of the best things about the internet is that it's kind of like having a coffee machine that everyone can go to at break and exchange information. And I'm sure all of you in the workplace have noticed that the greatest ideas come from that coffee machine when two people from two different aspects of the workplace start chatting. So I kind of look at it that way, that it's the coffee break for all of us. So come join. And if anybody wants to talk to me about what they think would be a better economic system, what would be a better use of energy, what would be please do. I would love to hear from you.
You know, the mythologist and storyteller Michael Mead was saying that what's interesting is three groups are getting together now. The environmental group, environmental movement with, well, or we could say climate justice movement with the social justice movement. And he said the one that nobody's talking about is mythology and stories. I hear this. I keep hearing
Thank
this from
you.
Many. The stories, that's the third movement, is that we have to change the stories, the memes, if you will.
That's right. Then that's what we are. That's why I write stories and cookbooks, because we have to eat, and we are a feasting species. We like to eat together to bond, and stories are what we do as a species. That's our goal and our job.
And that becomes who we are.
It does.
Form does follow thought.
Totally.
That's
and I'm going to talk about more about that tonight.
At Powell's on Hawthorne. Come out. It'll be a wonderful rainy night. This kind of thing to do. It's 7:30. I bet you'll sign books for people and everything, won't you?
I will.
And I'm telling you, if you haven't been to a book reading with Todd Davies, then you haven't had fun yet. I mean, they're all
I say I love
totally
you,
different.
Right? Yeah, I want to say it again.
They're all totally different, but they're literally, you meet people and it's great fun always, because you are accepting of your audience. And I
like accepting
that.
My audience. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad my audience is accepting
You're
of me.
Just happy to have people there. I know. So is there going to be an Arcadian cookbook?
Well, that was what we were thinking, because Mike Madrid has gotten very into this. He's like, he said, I've said everything I want to say about superheroines. Can we just work on Arcadia for a while? And I'm like, oh, I'm so there, man. Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we were thinking, maybe for the book after the NSA report is an Arcadian cookbook, and then you flip it and it's a Megalopolitan cookbook. So you can either read.
Ooh, what would their stuff be? Ew,
kind of like
ew.
Martha Stewart's.
No, she has some decent recipes.
Does she?
But what kind of? It would all be totally GMO'd foods.
Yeah, and hard to get foods. You know,
oh,
for
sure,
feastings.
Of
you
course.
Know, and
that sparrow's tongues.
Yeah, that maybe don't taste particularly good, but
yes.
They are very, very rich.
Yeah,
lots of ingredients, difficult to do. Lots of things that you need servants for. I mean, I don't know. I have to think about it. It'll be fun, though.
Yeah. Well, that's all good. We've got about 2 minutes left here.
Well, you must have some question you're burning to ask me.
Well, I've asked you so many questions. One of the things I wanted to get through, and we only have 2 minutes, so that's bad, but the biologist, Alan
Falaise.
Alan Falaise. There was the theme of the show is that... the symbol
plus energy
equals
reality. That's what they've discovered. Symbol plus energy equals reality. That symbols exist. We bring them up. We give them energy, and we can give energy to the symbols that we want. It's the same. It's saying in a different way what you said about story, which is that we form our world by the stories we tell about it. We also form our world by, and symbols wear out. They wear out. I mean,
yeah,
you can look
like archetypes. They wear. You can change those.
That's right.
Maybe.
And we are at a point in history that symbols have
We've
worn out.
We've got some
out
pretty worn
way,
out. Yes,
way. Yeah. So we need some new ones. So come tonight and suggest some new ones to me.
Or go on your Facebook page
and suggest some new ones. Yeah.
This is all about participation, people. You create the world that you want.
That's right.
I have been talking with the amazing Todd Davies about her new book, The Lizard Princess. She will be at Powell's on Hawthorne tonight at 7:30. And if you want, you just heard part of this interview, you turned in late, you can recall it all back on our KBOO.fm website. You can download that. It will be fun. Any last words, Todd?
Just thank you so much for being KBOO.
Thank you. We do try to be KBOO. That's all we can seem to be. So thanks, folks. Thank you, Rock. You rock steady, our engineer. And stay tuned for Words and Pictures.
Ignoring the pain of their particular diseases, they chase them through the alleys, kissing down the steps. They haul him through the mud and they chant for his death, and drag him to the feet of the purple-headed priest. First they give you everything that you want, then they take back everything that you have. They live upon their feet and they die upon their knees. They can work with Satan while they dress like the sun.
Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Clinton Street Stomp, an evening of unamplified performances by some of the region's root music acts, playing the third Saturday of each month, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the December 19th show features Crow Quill Night Owls, Caleb Plotter and Reed Wilms, and Miller and Saucer, and hosted by country blues yodeler Zach Bryson. Again, that's the Clinton Street Stomp, Saturday, December 19th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm Sonny Blechinger, KBOO's Artist in Residence for 2015. Hope you'll join us at the Clinton Street Theater December 10th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. for the broadcast of my radio play, The Pool. It's about four swimmers who happen to use the same pool at the same time every week. It'll be broadcast with new video by local filmmaker Lincoln Baron Holmes and hosted by the comedians from American Comedy, Paul Schlesinger and Jason Traeger. Following the radio play will be a screening of the 1968 film The Swimmer, starring Burt Lancaster. Again, that's Thursday night, December 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures, the comics and animation show. I'm your host, SW Conser, and I'm joined in the studio today by three Portland comics artists who have come together to create a graphic novel, the third